So I wrote this morning, so I might be some head with it if anyone has any advice. It's meant to be a satire about, I don't know if you've seen recently, Nike have a plus size mannequin, and it got a lot of controversial reaction. So this is my attempt at a satire. Dear Nike, for Tanya Gold, we, the soldiers against obesity, are distraught at recent dimensions of your plastic mannequin. We didn't mind missing fingers, protruding ribs, but since you decided to represent 62% of the population, we cannot eat our boiled rice and skinned chicken. We're up all night imagining young women calling stretch marks tiger stripes, cellulite normal, men choosing wives based on thick thighs, soft tummies to roll each other down the aisle. Slimming World and Weight Watchers will surely lose a couple of billion. And what about the mother stealing laxative teas out the back of seven-seater picnics? How will Kim promote her slender tone? Madonna, her macrobiotics? Who will like the before and after pics on hashtag CrossFit? Women will start eating gluten again, listening to their bodies. We, the soldiers against obesity, refuse to enter your business until that mannequin is promptly removed like a layer of fat with a thin silver scalpel.
That's an excellent start. I didn't know about that actually. I might check it out. Nike and obese mannequin. How lovely. Mary O'Connell.
Thanks, Dan. This is called Interloper. She came alone, knew no one in our group, and never once came to our weekly class. Yet now she joined us in our eight-day trip abroad. Her only wish to see a fabled structure, a Moorish marvel saved from a vanished past. We did our best to make her feel at home, though we were far from home ourselves. One of the lads helped her with her bags. When we located rooms in a rustic refuge that spilled out flowers and birdsong off the beaten track. When we began our physical exertions, the central reason for our odyssey, her slight frame, a little stooped with age, found flexing to our stretching hard to match, and ended moving at a slower pace. Some saw her as an oddity, a queer fish who wouldn't take a drink, yet took in Sunday Mass, the only one who did. While we chatted volubly, ready for a laugh, she was of a quieter cast of mind. One day, I heard her speak the native tongue, a discovery that forged a closer link. When extra wine was needed to enhance our rooftop feast, she was happy to interpret our request. She seemed to have established strong connections with those who gave us bed and board, as if reunited to her tribe. Baffled by this new turn of events, I began to see her in a different light. No longer someone distant and remote. She had come into her own, a vibrant being, allowing some hidden spring to bubble up and bathe her in an unexpected glow, which left me feeling strangely at a loss.
Thanks, Mary. Now, those of you who are acutely aware of gender balance might get a little bit worried because it's a run of women around the mall, but the good news is it's a run of strong women. Jack Chorton.
Strong but small women, Stan.
If I'd said that, you would have been upset.
I would, I'd be crying. I'm not going to do one of my own poems today. I don't know if you heard about the Pope changing the Our Father and all that, the Lord's Prayer. And that put me googling and things, and my sister and myself were talking about it all. And I discovered that Jesus was a poet in every sense of the word. Have you heard the Aramaic? I'm going to try it. It's just the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. Abum Dawashamaya Nekadish Shmuch Tete Malkutuk Newe Shavanak Akana Dawashamana Avara Hablan Alakma Tusuganan Yomana Washkuvan Kuban Watayan Aikana Dakan Shwokan Bakana Aban Wellatanan Leneshuna Ella Patsin Nabisha Metal Delaki Malkuta Washaila Watashuka Lalam Almin. Amin. That's it. And I mean, just to say that, I never knew this. You know, I didn't know that he was just spouting poetry. I mean, it's rhyming and everything. It's so, that's it. So, look, yeah, and the power of poetry, yeah? So.
That story brings a whole new meaning to the service of writing, doesn't it? No, we're still on the women. We don't want any men to panic just yet. There are men on the open mic, just in case you think we're being discriminated against. It should be the first time in 10,000 years that happened, but sure, it could happen. Max Green is next.
She's a young girl from one, and you talked about galaxies, and you talked about three things in my head. So this is what was in my head today, which is very scrambled. That's the best way to have it. So you're off on your day out, and you're just traveling to have a great time, infernally cheerful, and you're trying to escape all these thoughts that keep bucking in. So you're going to have to go on the ramble with me. Okay. So this is the song that started the head, an old song I wrote ages ago, and it's had many meanings many times since, for Brenda Kennedy. I must begin again, face a new day. I must begin again, as Kennedy would say. I'm awfully good at recycling, putting on the new spin. It's the rebuilding I have most trouble in. Run away from those dreams, the Ashton gal you thought you had, and the Trumley nightmares that chase you from your sleep. Should run away from your escape. The Ailu you thought it was, the one you stole away beneath your oxter, and the rain. Cycle along the greenway on a dirty day that raindrops wash it all away. And even the blasted fella that with the gatch you keeps getting in your way. And the rain is coming down, night doesn't mask the tears I'm crying. I'm lonely in my heart for all the crosses I've been climbing. Which one hurt the most? I could pick a few, but nothing and no one could ever hurt me the way that you did. Skit it all away. My body wobbles and sways, a galaxy at play on her leggings. It's a psychedelic pair of leggings and the Milky Ways on her rigging. Sniff it all away, sure have a go off the honeysuckle and the nettles, the marshlands, the slablands, the seaweed, and the flavins, porridge factory. And march across en masse across the viaduct, spinning time, should be a 6 week spinning for the three of us. Scoff it all away, tasty goods at the coachman's. Once a workhouse, then a fever house, should the lungs are long gone, but they gaze down, forbidding us of all our indulging. Did they gaze at those bricks to pass the cramped time? See their escape in the shape of it.
and we cochon the grougeons. But they lucky to have an onion to flavour their old gruel, and they'd flavour up the gruel with some bouillon. Put it all away, should there's coffee cake, ginger ale, lemon cake, and Ardmore, and we brave the beach, the monsoon of rainy gales. Run away with the heads of lettuce that Mary Finn gave all of us, knowing friendship is the one true love, good dine, good dealish, the sum of us. And in a sunny patio, my runners steam up, drying in the sun, and I must run away from the dreams of the Ashling gal I thought it was, and the troubled and tumbly nightmares that chase me from my sleep. But the sun is coming out, I can feel those old tears drying. I'm lighter in my heart, got more energy for trying. But one thing is for sure, I'll celebrate, I won't ask why. My new priority in life is simply just to enjoy. I must begin again, face a new day. I must begin again, like an Ellie would say. I'm awfully good at recycling, putting on a new spin. It's the rebuilding I have most trouble in. Bum, bum, listen to the guitar. Begin again. Begin again. Enough of that.
I love Mike's. Never mind the poetry in the song, I don't know if you've got it in the introduction, like the best way to have your head is scrambled. You know, a lot of people saying the best way to have your eggs is scrambled, and I've never heard anybody saying I like my head to be scrambled. So thank you, Mike's. Now, we're finally going to have somebody represent the male of the species, Ray Hanra.
This is called Poetry at the End of the Diesel Age. It's one I wrote a few years ago, and it kind of speaks to the, I suppose, the currently prominent concerns people have around, I suppose, climate change and, you could say,
emissions.
Yeah, etc. Okay. The engines are still thrumming, and prosperity and plenty are still coming. It might be thought to be premature to call an end to this age of riches, but we are already on borrowed time. The peak of indulgence is no later than now. We can't revisit the values of earlier ages. Each kilojoule will cost increasingly more in climate and currency terms. This is an age running on borrowed energy. The future is being pauperized to keep a bankrupt order in the pretense of plain sailing from year end to year end. The cost of today will be borne by all our tomorrows, and what was once cheap and plentiful will be scarce and expensive. The selfishness of our rulers will be the woe of our children, and I hope they will not hate us for our lack of fight and indecision over the catastrophe now unfolding.
Thanks, Ray. It's amazing how certain topics remain exactly the same. It's just baffles me. And you know, men are like buses sometimes. One comes along and there's a second one. Charles Darwin.
Thanks. I was influenced, like a lot of people, by WBH. And that talent for putting in kind of repetition of phrases struck me forcibly. Also, in that era, that there was a certain, what's it by Graves and Empson and others, and so I am apologizing for that in a slight and small way, because I'm not really able to rhyme, so these things are repeated. This is about Japan and its recent and indeed remote history, with due reference to the fact that there was a new emperor. And of course he would be expected to write poetry, because that's the sort of thing they do. Every now and again they produce a little gnomic. What's it, which you say that war is about to happen, or things of that kind. An outline of Japanese history. When their new liner took the plunge from the slipway, the dignitaries were left with flowers in the place of rivets and sheet metal. With flowers and inventive spirit, they have traveled far, who lived in dugouts. From Manchuria in the 1930s, let them eat millet, let them drink mare's milk. They pushed on towards the Great Wall of China and its gaps, past bandits and phantom armies, encountered cavalry, rare footage, and warlords, and arrived at last. And achieved at last the conquest of Ultra Po, what made enemies of Chiang and Mao and Franklin and King George. They traveled far, who lived in dugouts. The bright people, the bright pagoda towered overhanging, whose demon interdicting vision seared the eyes of those who dared to look, and there were some. They traveled far, who lived in dugouts.
Thank you very much, Charles.
Can I get a hat-trick of men, not Sharon Harrington? All right. Thanks, Dan. This was called Wooden Boat.
Not quite a good look, but...
The editor, Elena Hopkins, suggested changing the name to Ode to a Wooden Boat. That day we hooked the shark inside the harbour's mouth. He fought off Roach's point, then flashed his razor teeth. To guillotine the wire and dived without a trace, we merely meant to tag. For him, that's no excuse. When trading fishy tails, I often wonder why you missed a chance to snap the beaut that got away. My fenders don't wear socks outside my tumble home. My anchor's like a plough and needs no other name. My transom's really raked. It underlines my sheer. My keel will bear my weight if I should run ashore. My knees feel no more cramp when breakers boil and fizz. For they are copper fast, and each has known the ads. I am a wooden boat, well cambered on the deck. You'll always find me here, alone inside the dock. My master comes aboard at crosses green each week, declares the hips are gone, and guess the price of hake. The state you're in right now, you're creaking like a sheave. If Dad is looking down, he'll turn inside his grave. Along my waterline, a green and bushy beard, and now a crust of shells adheres to every board. He cranks my air-cooled heart, I always fire first time. He checks my diesel pulse, then feels my coolant stream. I had a sister ship, an open cargo boat, for livestock, coal and sheep, in cumbrous pigs and slate. She hit the wooden bridge the night she broke the chain. The spring was on the ebb, they found her on the lawn. Her engine blew out sparks, damn petrol TVO. Her sizzling pitch and tar foretold a sad adieu. But she was deep with sand, he bailed for all his worth. He dived and pulled the plug and sank her at the berth. The fire was quickly out. They came from nearby ports to raise and plank her hull. She sailed to foreign parts. 10 decades have gone by since rosary beads were kissed. Then down the slope he slipped, when I was splashed and blessed. And when the mast was stepped, that stormy month of March, I danced among the boys and wheeled around the perch. The mast went overboard away before the war, retrieved from Sunday's well, an engine from a car, which grumbled for 10 months, then had no more to say, removed from its sick bed, they buried it at sea. A new pole of pitch pine, the ecosystem push, each sail was tan and full, my galley stove was posh. With pig iron fore and aft, our sea trials were no joke, regattas through the fleets, we left them in my wake. They watched me in the sound, the wise ones all agreed, I was a work of art and worthy of an ode.
Thanks, Seamus. So, as you can imagine, a few flashbacks to a previous life there. Thanks again. Patricia Walsh. Come on in.
Writing my poetry is falling in love with the wrong person, but this poem celebrates the fact that I got off leg day. This is called "I'm Not Being Your Fiancé." This is going to hurt, in plain souls of propriety, a footnote in the literature of another body, the forgotten orgasm perplexes the other avowed. Now taking hints from anywhere, burning finally dry, the sole traitor hijacking innocence as is. Crashing and burning eventually, fool that you are, listening to blistering theories about everything. The fear of discrimination hangs on your defence. Murderous fantasies unfurled, a drastic failure, seductively alone, holding an appendage outright. Keeping transactions public, looking very stoned, hiding relationships in due force, nothing having twigged in lower than low, this maddening spirit resides with the strange. Living on borrowed interrogation, thought word indeed. Squarely viewing the cause of death, while bidding to failure a gargantuan task. Done as you will, owing thousands for a living, dying as lived in a crude station, a soul restless for want of satisfaction. Nothing to declare, therefore failure, poisoning rivers running free, job done well. Elusive poetry stands without your help, immortal in the block. Quote of forgetting, posthumous readiness going to waste. Thank you.
Thanks, Trish. Poems about falling in love with the wrong person and audience of everybody on the planet, I can imagine. Next up is Philip Spillett.
Today, that's what the soft drizzle, moans. It's the same as your computer running startup diagnostics. I shelter in the library while the shower gossips outside. Same as I my password into login. The pages of many books stir like a restless caged up canary. The computer rattles like there's one inside it. I can't live in here with the din. It's like I'm under diagnostic. I exit into the fall, and there I found a desktop background. Bold flowers, embossed colors, growing dairy gold, lilac, violet, and indigo. I snapped it on my phone, and I'm so sorry I'm losing the difference between two worlds. I grew up with it, becoming more disconnected and both unidentical. I'm sorry to myself of this identity crisis. I feel sometimes I have to choose. What should I choose? The shower stops and I shut down. Thank you.
Holly Jones is next.
Hi, it's my first time reading a poem out loud, so it's my shortest and quickest one. I thought I'd do it the next time I came, but I've got the courage to do it, so you're all very brave. This is about my dog. He died. He was my best friend for 10 years. And I was sitting in my mum's garden and I wrote this. You might pass and see little or nothing, but it is something to me. This is my kingdom. As small as it is big to me. This is my kingdom. It may be plain, nothing special, but it is special to me. This is my kingdom. And as absent as you may now be because of your memory, it is still full to me. It is my kingdom. As humble as it isn't to me.
If you were paying attention earlier on, which I know you weren't, you would have noticed that when I said there was we had kind of a half a person on the old mic, and I said the initials were HJ, which is obviously Holly Jones. So thank you for taking the plunge. She was a little bit, if you were, I repeatedly say that it's always brilliant to be in a room when somebody says the first step and reads aloud. Thank you for choosing tonight for doing that. That's one of the reasons we're standing such a great. And so we've reached the end of the open mic, the end of the night. Not quite, we've got one more. Jacqueline Curtin is going to close the open mic.
Hi, Jacqueline.
It's called Earth Aids. Eyes and endless stars, shining fusion of bird gaze. Splattered amidst motion flutters. Reveal crossing distance, infinity surrenders gently, mysteriously capturing shadows. Light scores victoriously, screaming sunshine. Gracious echo veils appear, held still wherein earth aches.
Forgot to mention that. Thanks, Jacqueline. Thank you so much. Thank you, and thank you for closing night. Does anybody know where the jar is?
Sure.
It was there over there. I thought I'd done missing. My apologies. All right, so we're at the end of the... I definitely get sacked if I lost the jar. I'd be sacked for sacked 10 times. Right, so we're at the end of the night. Thank you all for contributing. Thanks to Long Valley for having us, as always. Congratulations to the 5-word champion. I can't mention his name because it's a bit of controversy. Led by our wonderful guest poet for tonight. We have one more round of applause for Clodagh Bell. Don't forget,